All right, Suzanne, thanks a bunch. Always great to welcome in the Senate Minority Leader, Mitch McConnell. Senator, good afternoon.
Hey, Terry.
Well, I figured you'd be beaming today after
happy
that.
Happy day. Yeah. I mean, you know, your listeners wouldn't be surprised that I thought Mitt Romney won, but I think more important, I flipped over to CNN to see what the enemy thought, and David Gergen declared Romney the winner. James Carville, a famous Democratic consultant, said, quote, "Well, debates aren't that important anyway," end quote.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, I think it was a clear win, which you rarely see in these debates. I mean, generally speaking, you'll say, you know, A had a pretty good night and B didn't. But I think this was, by any objective standard, plus I'm told that Chris Matthews was in a semi-catatonic state over in the corner in a prenatal position sucking his thumb. That pretty well tells you all you need to know about how the debate came out last night.
This was an opportunity for someone, though, to be eye-to-eye or toe-to-toe with the President of the United States, and that's a rare position for Barack Obama to find himself in. So do you think there was some shock element that came along with that, too?
I think the President realized he's up against a formidable opponent, a very bright, capable guy who understands the issues and how to talk about them. And for the viewers, and apparently there was a huge audience, it's an opportunity to evaluate the candidates without witnessing attack ads, you know, and all the other stuff that goes with campaigns. Nobody could intervene on their behalf. Nobody could do anything except observe the two of them mano a mano. And I like the format, you know, with basically one guy kind of refereeing and letting the two guys go at it. I think you learn a lot about how bright they are, how capable they are, and how they're able to express themselves and understand the issues in a forum like that. And so I was thrilled, obviously, that Governor Romney did so well.
You've been in a debate setting many times. Why do you think the president's people did not want him to mention the 47%?
Beats me. I mean, you know, both sides. You could say that that Romney should have brought up, if you have a business, you didn't build it. I mean, there are these things that candidates say on both sides during every campaign that take on a life of their own. You could argue that, you know, Romney missed opportunities on that front as well.
Some people, one of the pundits was saying that he also missed an opportunity, Governor Romney I'm talking about, when the moderator said, "Mr. President, you have 5 seconds left." And he said, "Well, you took 5 seconds to tell me that." And then the president proceeded to take about 45 seconds. And someone said that was a golden opportunity for Mitt Romney to say, "There you go. They give you a little bit of numbers and you have to blow them way up."
Yeah.
like the debt.
Well, let's put it this way. Given the evaluation about almost everybody of how it came out, I think Mitt Romney had a good night. And, you know, our side is feeling very good about it because it was a major effort over the last 2 months to act like this presidential contest was over. I mean, a major effort to convince everybody. It was all over, but, you know, shouting. And
that
clearly is not the case.
That's the point, though, about the 47%, because people thought that's the last nail in his coffin. Mm-hmm. They will pound him to death with that. And yet, crickets last night. You didn't hear that come
up.
Yeah,
well, you know, what Governor Romney said about the 47% was not very well presented. What he should have said, and I expect what he meant to say, was there are 47% of Americans who don't pay federal income taxes. Not that they don't pay any taxes at all, but they don't pay federal income taxes. That's true. And usually that's a point that people make in disputing the notion that the current tax code is not progressive. It is very progressive. In fact, the top 20% of taxpayers provide over 90% of the revenue for the federal government. So it's very progressive. In other words, high-income people pay a lot more than lower-income people do. He could have said it a lot better, but it's accurate that 47 or so percent of Americans don't pay federal income taxes. It doesn't mean that they don't pay any taxes at all. They're paying property taxes and state taxes and sales taxes and other kinds of taxes. But it's a comment that does illustrate that the federal income tax is quite, quite progressive, which tends to dispute the notion that there's somebody sort of not paying their fair share or that higher-income people are sort of getting away with something. They're carrying the freight now and will continue to carry the freight no matter how you restructure the code.
I think a lot of people, though, felt like that 47% comment meant that they were sort of shut out. Like the big people are eating at the Thanksgiving, you know, the big people table, and you, 47%, you eat out in the yard.
Yeah, well, that's not what he said. But, you know, in any event, these things happen. I mean, you know, the big faux pas the president made was to claim that if you have a small business, you didn't build it. Well, ask any small business person in America, and there are millions of them, who built their business, and I think they'll tell you they did.
Indeed. All right, Senator Mitch McConnell's in the studio with us for next 10, 15 minutes. Sit tight. We're coming right back here on 84 WHAS. Senator Mitch McConnell in the studio with us now. Good to have you back in Louisville here and getting out and about. All right, obviously we've been talking about the debate from last night. An expression came up was used last night, by Governor Romney, trickle-down government. That was an interesting play on an old expression of trickle-down economics.
Yeah, I mean, the point that Governor Romney is trying to make is that under this administration, the government's involved in literally everything. You know, massive new deficits and debt, four straight years of annual deficits of $1 trillion. Administration's run up more debt than all the presidents who've served before in 1 4-year period. They take over American health care. Regulators on steroids crawling all over every business in America. Yeah, I mean, the government has now become an omnipresent reality in virtually every American's life in a lot of ways that are not helpful in getting us out of this economic trough that we've been in.
Jobs is the issue that obviously both of the guys on stage last night were talking about. And the president said he promised so many millions of jobs if reelected. And Mitt Romney said that his plan wouldn't work at all. And they each accused each other of jacking the taxes and so forth. So how do the voters that are still caught in that cloud decide which guy has a plan that works? Why does
Mitt Romney's... I think the best way to look at that is that we tried the president's way now for 4 years. The first 2 years, he owned the Congress. He had total support for everything he wanted to do, passed everything he wanted to pass. It's all part of the law. How'd it work out? We're in our 43rd straight month of unemployment above 8%. We now have a debt the size of our economy, which makes it look a lot like Greece. Do we really want four more years that look like the last 4 years? We've tried Barack Obama's approach. I don't think more of the same is going to produce a different result. Was it Einstein who said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result? Look, there's only one way to get out of this trough. You have to have a vibrant, growing private sector. If government borrowing and spending would work, we'd be in the middle of a boom right now.
The administration will answer and say, though, they were hindered by all the problems that they walked into.
Look, I concede the president inherited a difficult situation. He did. It was a tough situation. But that was 4 years ago. It is a fact that this is the worst recovery after a deep recession since World War II. Typically, after you have a deep recession, you have a big, rapid bounce back, a big comeback. Here, we had a deep recession and tepid job growth now into the fourth year. Look, I don't dispute that he inherited a tough situation. The question is, what did he do with it? And clearly, that didn't work. Now, he argues things would have been much worse but for what we did. I don't know how you prove that, but I can tell you for sure this is the worst recovery after a deep recession since World War II. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why? Threatened taxation, overregulation, spending, borrowing, all of that has produced a kind of clogging up of the American private sector. Virtually everybody that you and I run into, Terry, and you're the interviewer and not the witness here, but everybody is saying they're frozen with uncertainty. They don't know what the tax rates are going to be. They don't know what the regulatory environment's going to be. They're trying to figure out how to deal with Obamacare, one of the biggest job killers that you could possibly ever have passed. That has produced a stagnant economy. So we know what the president, you know, is in favor of. He had an opportunity to go in a different direction after the November 2010 election. The American people took a look at the first 2 years, and they issued a national restraining order. said, don't do that anymore. It changed the House, made me the leader of a larger minority in the Senate, and said, Mr. President, thank you, but we'd like to go in a different direction. He chose not to do that, unlike Ronald Reagan and Bill Clinton, who pivoted depending upon what happened in the congressional election. He chose not to do that. So, look, my response to what would Obama be like in a second term is I think we already know that. You know, there's no education in the second kick of a mule. We've been there and done that.
President Obama is out today saying that Mitt Romney, the guy who was on stage last night, was someone completely different from the guy you saw 5 weeks leading up to it. So he would ask you, which Mitt Romney should we believe, last night or the guy for the past 5 weeks?
I think what the president doesn't like is the American people didn't see the Mitt Romney that Barack Obama's commercials have been describing. American people got to see the real Mitt Romney. There weren't any attack ads during that program. It was just the two of them discussing the future of this country and what they would do. And there was no intervention. The president didn't have his attack machine on during the commercial. He had to stand up face-to-face and debate a very smart, capable guy with a different view of what the future of this country ought to be. And it didn't work out too well for him.
Next up, the vice presidential candidates, Joe Biden and Paul Ryan. How does that one play out?
Well, it's great for Center College to get it. I remember going to the Joe Lieberman, Dick Cheney vice presidential debate at Center in 2000. It's great that they were able to land this again. Quite an accomplishment for them. Good for Kentucky to have the spotlight on us. And I'm certainly going to join others who will be there to watch it in person and to go into the spin room, what they call the spin room afterwards. And I'm hoping to have the same kind of exuberant feeling after the Ryan-Biden debate that I had after the Romney-Obama debate.
As far as Joe Biden's concerned, or President Obama in the next presidential debate, how will they come out? What did they learn last night, and how will they be different? Well, Biden, we haven't seen yet.
Well, you know, Biden has a reputation for making a lot of gaffes, but I don't think he would make it in a debate. I know Joe Biden pretty well. We served together a long time. I like him. His biggest gaffes are typically when he's out pandering to an audience, you know, just trying to get that last ounce of applause and tends to get him in trouble. I don't think you can anticipate Biden making those kinds of mistakes in a debate like this. Joe is a smart guy, capable guy. Ryan is one of the brightest people in Congress. So I think you're going to have two real smart people with different visions of the direction the country ought to go in, and it'll be a good opportunity for everybody to size them both up.
Senator Mitch McConnell, and any projection on how the makeup of the Senate and the House of Representatives will be after this election?
Well, the House is still going to be Republican. I think that's pretty sure. The Senate's going to be real close. I'll either be the leader of a very narrow majority or a very robust minority, and I think it could go either way, and if I were an odds maker, I'd say 50-50.
You said you were going to work to see that you had a one-term president in Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Has your work paid off after last night?
Well, we'll find out. I think, you know, I made that statement after 2 years of Barack Obama. But in the same statement, I also said, you know, it's 2 years until the election, and we need to do important things for the country. And I'm disappointed that he didn't pivot to the political center like Bill Clinton did after 2 years. And Clinton had the same experience Obama did 2 years then. He lost the Congress, but he pivoted to the middle, and good things were done, like welfare reform and balanced budgets. I had hoped the president would do that. Didn't happen, but we'll honor the, as we always do, the decision of the American people. They're going to make that decision a few weeks from now, and we'll see what cards they deal, and we'll move on from there.
Senator Mitch McConnell, we'll talk football after the election, I promise. Good to see you again.
See you.
All right, news on the way here on 84 WHAS.